Welcome back to Soulful Conversations, people. It's Ash Grunewald here, and this week we have a very special podcast. It's my wife, Danny Carr, talking about her new podcast called How I Quit Alcohol, which has had an absolutely massive response. And I know people who have read my book and listened to this podcast will know that I've slipped in a few times about quitting alcohol, that I extol the virtues of quitting alcohol for me. But that doesn't mean that it's for you necessarily. And if you, especially people at gigs, I see people drinking, having a good time, doing their thing. If you love drinking and it's not affecting your life, then this does not apply to you. But if you're a bit of a binge drinker or you think that alcohol's affecting you in any way, you may want to have a listen to this podcast. So without further ado, Danny Carr. Welcome to Soulful Conversations with Ash Grunewald. In this podcast, we interview inspiring and amazing people, musicians, surfers, and experts in mindset, creativity, health, well-being, and making the world a better place. I'm tired of beating around the bush. I want to go deep and have a soulful conversation.
This podcast is brought to you by Earth Bottles. At Earth Bottles, we are on a mission to end single-use plastics, offering a full range of beautiful double-insulated bottles, reusable coffee cups, food and tea canisters, stainless steel straws, bags, and lots of plastic-free eco-goodies. Earth Bottles proudly supports the Breast Cancer Network of Australia, Beyond Blue, Hope for Health, Clean Coast Collective, 15 Trees, Bali Baby House, and the UN Refugee Agency. So head over to www.earthbottles.com.au for a 10% discount using the promo code ASHLOVESME. Together, we can make a change and break up with single-use plastics.
How are you going?
Good. How are you?
Now, last time we spoke, we were talking about medical marijuana and your dad coming in.
Yeah.
We had such an overwhelming response to that. Now, let's start this podcast with an update on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dad's amazing. It's really amazing, actually. I was speaking to him today and he's just been fishing. And honestly, I'd hate to say any claim that because I don't know. He's fine. He's so fine. You wouldn't tell that he had cancer to look at him or to talk to him, and there's no coughing or oxygen required or anything like that. And don't forget, I don't know if people heard the podcast, but my dad was given 3 months to live last year. It was last May. He should have been passed away by late July. And he's just been kicking so many goals.
So July, just to clarify, it's July last year he was supposed to be gone, and we thought we're really hoping. We actually had Christmas in August for him, last August, yeah. Just in case. And now this August is well and truly gone.
Yeah, he just had his 85th birthday. But he, for those of you who don't know, he came up here with us to
Northern New South Wales.
Yeah, he came up here to try some alternative therapies, and so we basically treated him with cannabis oil and a low sugar diet and various other things which are on the podcast, which I shan't go into now.
But yeah, it's like about podcast number 13 or something around that.
Yeah, it's there. But anyway, it's amazing. Like, I honestly, I'm like, Dad, you sound so good. I can't believe it.
It is a miracle. You know, like, we were hoping for a miracle. He'd run out of ideas, and that's why he was open to alternatives. And another thing is, he did have that mindset of like, I'm going to beat this. He said that from the start, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was adamant.
I know. Even now when I say, Dad, maybe you should get some tests just to see where you're at. He's like, I don't need tests because I don't have it.
Yeah, and definitely that. I'm sure that plays a part as well.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But yeah, such an inspiring story that. And we had an overwhelming response, and we still get a lot of people sending in questions about that.
I get a few emails a week. At one stage, I was getting an email every day or a few emails every day about it. But yeah, I get a lot of emails about it, and it's awesome.
It's so good, and it's such a good feeling to know that you're using your powers for good.
Yeah.
And the powers of the podcast, the power of the pod. And you did some blogs on it on the Earth Bottles website.
Mm.
And people have got so much benefit out of that. Mm. So that is so cool. So there's one good news story for you people. And good news story number two, that you've actually started up something else that is giving people a lot of help and a lot of hope. And it's really just super exciting. So tell us a little bit about How I Quit Alcohol.
I guess it started because, well, we quit alcohol. I think a lot of people know that. When you went into that in the podcast with Scotty. But for those of you who don't know, Ash and I and Scott Owen from The Living End, his girlfriend Claire and a couple of other friends took a pact to take 12 months off alcohol, and that was 2.5 years ago. Mm. And we basically did the 12 months and our whole lives transformed and keep transforming daily, but it just gets better and better. And so I think people around us were seeing that and were getting inspired by that. And I would, you know, tell anyone who wanted to hear about it how it's changed our lives. So then I thought I might do a podcast just to get on and tell the story. So I had Ash, come on and we did the first podcast together. Mm-hmm. And the podcast is called How I Quit Alcohol. And I started an Instagram page, which was just to basically inspire people. And the response was huge. And so basically since then, I've been interviewing other trash bags that are no longer trash bags.
Reform trash bags.
About how they quit and why they quit and how their life has changed as a result. And basically what's happened, I'm getting this overwhelming response from people saying that they're just so grateful to have this conversation starting and opening. And I'm sure there's other podcasts like it. I think they like the realness. I'm not sure what it is, but they are really enjoying the stories and feeling like not so shamed. Mm. Because that's a big part with alcohol, the shame cycle that we go through. So even just to go, I get so many messages from people saying, you know, I felt so shameful, but now they don't have to feel shame. You can feel proud of quitting. And that's what this is bringing about, this conversation about that.
Mm. And I think one area where your podcast seems to be targeting, and there's a real need here, is somewhere in between I was waking up sculling a vodka before I went to work and I can drink sensibly and it's fine. There's a lot of middle ground in between those two things. Mm. And I think that's more where we were pretty into it, party, binge drink kind of people.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people in that category. And what keeps people from getting out of that cycle earlier is that they don't really feel like a fully blown alcoholic.
Mm.
I know I hated that term. I still hate that term. So they're like, well, if I quit, I'm admitting that I'm an alcoholic. So, mm. And surely I'm strong enough to control my drinking.
Mm.
And have the odd good night. I don't know what's wrong with me that I keep waking up with these hangovers and forgetting going to bed.
Mm.
But, you know, I shouldn't be this way. So they just keep rolling and probably roll for more years than they should have.
Mm.
without trying to make a change. And I think that's maybe the community that you're serving with the How I Quit Alcohol thing.
Yeah, initially it was aimed and targeted towards binge drinkers, but then it's turned out there's been, all spectrums, all different levels. And, that's really interesting. I guess everyone can relate to, no matter if they're a binge drinker or a daily drinker, that feeling of being out of control. Mm. And I think if you drink just a couple of drinks every now and then or whatever, it's not a problem.
Mm.
But it's when it's starting to affect your life or affect your self-esteem or affect other people around you, then it's definitely time to have a look at it.
Mm.
And I mean, I can only speak for myself here, but for decades that I felt so out of control and really out of alignment of where I wanted to be as a human.
Mm.
So waking up, not remembering going to bed, or vomiting, you know, in front of people, in front of my children later on, was probably a low point for me. And not only that, just feeling you know, fatigued or fuzzy headed, or I can't get my shit together, you know, all the things that we go through, that it's alcohol is to blame for that. And, you know, assigning the blame over there to alcohol, and then just talking about it, because we're all human and so many of us have been there or are there at the moment and don't know how to get out of it. That's where I was, that continual cycle, months off drinking and then starting again and going right back to where I started, trying to moderate, you know, I'm going to have a water in between each drink, or I'm going to only have one drink an hour, or I'm only going to drink spritzers with only a tiny bit, you know, that's exhausting.
It is, isn't it? It's a lot of mental energy.
Oh, so much mental energy, as you know. And then, I just did not want that anymore. And so this opportunity that presented itself for us to all take 12 months off together in a group. Oh, God, I'm just so grateful every day, because I can't express enough how much life has changed for the better. Our relationship, you and I, or me as a mum, as a business person running Earth Bottles, a friend, I'm such a better friend. I'm fitter, I'm healthier, I'm not fuzzy headed anymore. I'm clear, I know what my vision is for myself. It's just changed everything.
That's one thing I think about it. Like, one thing, if you're a drinker, it sounds kind of boring to quit alcohol for a year. It sounds hard. Sounds like you can't do it. And that's probably how I felt at the start. But I just thought, oh, well, I'm making the commitment. All I have to do is just not put a beer to my lips and I'll be right. But what I didn't bank on is, this might sound so weird, but it was fun. Once I got into it, it was fun. I started like setting goals for myself after that. And I started feeling like that was the year that I actually wrote Surf by Day, Jam by Night, and that was a mammoth task. That year I didn't watch any Netflix. I didn't really sit around. I was getting fit. I was doing that. I was practicing guitar like there was no tomorrow.
But you, Ash, are a frother on so many levels. No matter what it is
the large.
Froth level is high with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't find it as fun initially as you did.
Well, I found it.
I love that about you, though. You get so into things.
I go for it.
That's why you're a great musician.
Thank you. Well, I found it. Now, what is that book? There's a book that I read when we were living in Bali.
Alcohol Lied to Me?
Not Alcohol Lied to Me, but that's a good one. The Naked Mind, I think it was. And she was saying in there.
That's Annie Grace, yeah?
Annie Grace, is it? Mm. We can put a link to that in the show notes. But like, she's the one that really gave me a little bit of an epiphany, because it was like she gave me an empowering way of looking at it. And I think that's just what you need sometimes to unlock these things, is just one empowering little flip and you can have an epiphany and look at it a whole different way. And it was a way that I could enjoy it, which was, if you're a binge drinker, you're a full-on person. And actually, you say I'm a frother, but I've seen this. I mean, you're on fire at the moment, so I'm seeing the froth come from you. But like, she gave me the empowerment of the frother. Like, if you're a binge drinker, it's because you go hard. You just like, if you like it, you love it. You want to get into it. You're a full-on person. But rather than say, I've got an addictive personality and make it like really like, I'm pathetic, I've got an addictive personality. She was like, she didn't even believe that. She was like, don't say that. You know, you're a full-on person. So if you quit alcohol, you'll put that full-on froth into something else. And that made sense to me. I was like, yes, I've done that before. I've done it in other areas of my life. I could see myself doing that. So then that really made me think, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere with this. And so then after a while, it wasn't about alcohol anymore anyway, because I was just driving at all these other things.
I think when you are a binge drinker, particularly, and when you are a frother, and exactly like what she's saying, you have to replace it with something else. And that's the key. Like, if you are going to sit there on your ass watching Netflix, feeling sorry for yourself because you can't drink, it's not going to work. And you're just using sheer willpower. And I reckon most people would last maybe a couple of months max.
Of hard work too.
Oh, it's exhausting. Where if you replace it with other good habits, and also knowing this is a big one as well, that don't ever think that you're giving something up, that you're quitting something. You have to see it as you're giving yourself a gift, that you're giving yourself something. And that concept comes from Alan Carr's How to Quit Smoking book.
Oh, the seminal.
Yeah, that was an amazing book because that put a whole new slant on things. You know, like if you are quitting something, actually you're not quitting anything, you're giving yourself something, and be grateful for it.
That's really great. Now, I think I'm going to do a little segue here, because we've been working on a little book, or you've been working, I've been helping, with a little book that I just think is an amazing tool that people can use. It's going to be out in maybe a month's time or so.
Yeah, about 3 weeks. It's basically a playbook or a guided journal, and it's based on the journal that I had for the 12 months that I used to quit alcohol. So it's basically broken it up into layers and strategies that you can use to quit drinking. So the first section is foundational things like gratitudes and musts, exercises that you need to bring into daily habits. It's about, yeah, basically setting yourself up for daily habits, which will change your mindset. And then it goes deeper into actually changing your subconscious belief about yourself, because that's the big one.
Massive.
A lot of people really identify themselves as, like I did. I was like Danny the drinker or Danny the good times person. I couldn't even envisage myself not drinking. And not forgetting too that we took 12 months off and I had full intentions of drinking again when the 12 months was up, right until 2 weeks before. But then I just thought, no fucking way. Like, I've worked way too hard. We both have worked so hard, and Scott and Claire as well. Mm. And it was funny when they both said, no, they're done as well.
Yeah, they didn't want to go back either, because all any of us said was, we'll do it for 12 months. Yeah. We were planning on being in Canada. We're like, oh, I'm going to be having one by the fire. And
yeah, and I think that the hard work that we'd put in and the way that we felt at the end of that 12 months, we were so transformed that it was like, why the hell would I want to go back to that? There is no way I would ever go back to that. So yeah, part of this journal is, it's all based on that, on this playbook is all based on that, and how you set yourself up and how you actually change your whole mindset. And it's not just for drinking too. I think people could use it if they're needing to dissolve any pattern or if they're having self-esteem issues or self-confidence issues. It's all about rebuilding from the inside out. And I'm super excited about that coming out, because I think it's going to be a huge help for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it will. In fact, I took a draft copy and I'm just using it as a journal at the moment, because it's pretty much what it's very similar. We had similar things that we were doing and have kept doing. But some form of journaling seems to be really important. I remember hearing that, you know, from Einstein to Da Vinci, journaling is just a really important thing that every genius has used, and a lot of really successful people journal. And I don't know if you're anything like me, like when I was first introduced, you probably introduced me to that idea, but of journaling and getting things down on paper, it didn't really I didn't really think of it at first, but that's just been one of the most helpful things that I've had to come into my life, because you can get it out of your mind and you can see what you need to, what you're working on, and you could plan. It's like trying to add up a long math sum. It's too hard if you have to do it just in your head.
I totally agree. And I think that even if it's a positive affirmation or it's seeing your goals, once it's there on paper, it also becomes more of a reality. It's out of your conscious mind and out onto the paper, and it's something that you can actually see, and it makes it more tangible. So that's why positive affirmations too work really well when you're writing them down. It just helps solidify that and get it into your subconscious brain as well.
I think on my little journey, that's something that I've discovered, and I know you have as well, from going through, you know, Joe Dispenza, all of the self-help people, and going to NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, that we've been looking into lately. It comes from all sides, even ancient Eastern philosophy, that idea that your conscious mind, what you actually decide, oh yeah, okay, I'll do this, I'll quit drinking, or oh okay, I'm gonna never have sugar anymore, or I'm gonna stop thinking these negative thoughts. Once you've made that decision, that's cool. But an hour later, you'll be doing the same thing again if you don't actually start speaking to your subconscious mind. Yeah, it's sort of like the conscious mind is steering the ship, but the subconscious mind is all of the sailors on the ship and all the whole rest of the ship that actually gets the stuff done.
Mm.
So you really have to find a way to speak to your subconscious mind. And that's not through just reasoning with your subconscious mind, because it's not even making decisions. It's just carrying out programs that you've given it over the years.
I think too, it's like, it is the engine room. The subconscious mind is the engine room. And so getting in there, getting into that engine and helping it to re-steer the ship is the most integral part. And part of that too is breaking away from this identity that we have of ourselves and this self-belief. Mm. So if you can identify why you drink in the first place, was it to fit in, or is it to, you know, for whatever reason it is, and then it's kind of flipping that on its head and realizing, well, is it actually making me fit in? Is it making me fit in with the right? Is it, you know, how is it serving me? And then changing yourself. No, I'm actually a non-drinker, or I'm a healthy non-drinker. I'm, you know, putting a positive spin on it and changing that identity, that self-identity.
Changing your identity. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember seeing that, something on that in there when we were reading that NLP stuff that really made sense.
Mm.
Like, it's like, if you can change something on the level of your identity, it's much easier to change your behavior rather than just...
willpower.
Just willpower, just working on the behavior. You've got to go a bit deeper than that and change your identity. But when it comes to drinking, that's really hard.
Mm.
That's why like 12 months is really good, because after you've been doing it for 12 months, you've had a long time to really feel like that you are a non-drinker by the end of 12 months. So then you can your identity does change.
Yeah.
In a way.
And that can seem really scary for people. I know it did for me at first. I thought, oh my God, 12 months, freaking hell. And I remember at 3 months just thinking, oh, you know, how am I going to get through this? And that's when these practices kicked in and I was like, right, I need to be positive and feel good about this and start having some gratitude. And I started to change the way I was thinking about it and changing the way I saw myself, because I knew I did not want to be that person anymore. I did not want to be this drunk girl or this loud girl embarrassing herself or embarrassing, you know, doing things I didn't feel good about, or not being a great mum. That was the biggest thing for me. And I just did not want to be that. So that was a good driver for me too. Just kept thinking about the last time I felt like that, the last big binge session I had, and how I woke up and how I felt. So I kept focusing on that too. I knew that's somewhere I did not want to go back to. And that was a driver for me. But I didn't want to also dwell on the negative. I wanted to dwell on where I wanted to be and the person I wanted to be. So, and then I just felt proud of myself. You know, instead of feeling shamed and all the rest of it, I felt proud, and I felt proud to say, no, I'm having some time off and I'm doing it for me. And that's it.
And so how have things been since then?
Oh my God, so amazing. What else is interesting is everyone I speak to on the podcast says exactly the same thing as this, that their life has exploded, that everything has changed for them. Most people I ask too, what's the good bit about alcohol? And they always say nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now that they've had that time away from it, they realize it was giving them nothing. It wasn't serving them. It was just holding them back and pulling them down. And oh my God, I cannot stress that enough. How much it changed everything, you know, on so many levels.
And even in the level of like, if you're in that phase of like that we're sort of in now, where you're all stoked and you're doing a million things and whatever, if you talk to some people, it probably makes them feel tired just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But I remember that feeling too. And I know you felt like that too. You feel more like just sitting around and watching Netflix. But when you do quit and you feel all that extra energy and you start getting all these projects on the go, you have, the irony is you have even less time in your life, because you've got all this time back that you're not wasting. So now you're doing a whole lot more. And when we go to bed, we've been saying a lot lately, and you've been doing a million things. You're still running Earth Bottles. You're doing How I Quit Alcohol, the Instagram. You're running the podcast. You've got a webinar coming up. You're doing the book. And then I've got all my stuff. And we get to bed at night and just
doing
go,
courses.
Oh. Yeah, and then we were waking up early in the morning doing a course and stuff. And then we go to bed going, geez, I just wish there's a few more hours left.
And I didn't say that to you the other day. I wish we could just have a day where it was just like, I wish there was like 12 more hours in the day, or 4 more hours. Yeah, it's awesome. And the great thing too, like when you're learning and doing new things and you're achieving, I think it was in Joe Dispenza's book where the neural pathways start to light up and different parts of your brain start to light up.
Mm.
Because if we're doing the same thing and thinking the same thoughts, we think 60,000 thoughts a day and we repeat those same thoughts basically every day. Or we repeat 90% of those thoughts the following day. And that just leaves your mind, it's just this kind of like this super highway to negativity or to the same thoughts you've always had. Mm. And so when you start to do new things and learn new things, different parts of the brain start to fire. And I just think you just start to feel good. And now so much is going on, but I don't feel overwhelmed at all. I feel so excited. It's awesome.
Yeah, there's nothing like learning new things. I almost think it's the rut buster. If you if you're in any kind of rut, I think it's really important to just start learning new stuff, whether it's a brand new thing that you've never done before, that's a good thing to learn, or just mastery of something you've done forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got into in that period and still now a little bit of both of those things, and I know you have too. And it just, you know, because you think about your teenage years and when you're really improving, there was this excitement. I mean, the best thing for me to think about is playing my guitar, because I've been doing that for over 30 years. And it was only when we quit alcohol that year, that's when I really started practicing like a demon. And I'd look at my guitar and I just had this love for it. And it was a deeper love than I'd had for the last decade, because I know why, because I was putting in the time into that instrument. So I couldn't wait to get back.
I remember you walking around, because we were in Bali at the time, living there, and you'd just be walking around the villa with your guitar strapped to you, like from the second you woke up. And I, I'll admit it, I did want to throw the guitar in the pool for a while. But it was great. And you did. I could see the improvement that happened. It was amazing.
It was a good period. It may be a little loud, but yeah.
No, but it's same as you though. Like what I watch you do and what I see you achieving and everything you've done in this last few years, it's amazing. And you're like Superman doing all this crazy stuff and improving yourself. And I'm so proud of you, as you know, just to see how far you've come. And I think none of this would have happened, or you know, none of this growth would have happened for either of us and our in our relationship if we had have kept drinking.
No, definitely not.
It's and you know, it's hard at the moment. Like I think alcohol and binge drinking and alcoholism, it's gone through the roof because of lockdown and COVID.
Yeah.
And people are stressed and worried and or they're bored. They're sitting at home and they're bored. And I think if you could just channel that energy and that the stress and or if it's boredom or whatever it is that's driving you to drink, if you can channel it into something else, now's the time, because you don't want it to keep. The thing is with alcohol, it's got such a progressive nature to it that it just creeps up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you just get every week, you know, it can, it's like you either go one way or the other with it too. I think particularly around our age, around 40, it's most people, it's make or break time. And I just feel that people are spiraling out of control with everything that's going on in the world. And now more than ever, we need to have a clear mind and we need to be healthy and working on ourselves so that we can be prepared for what's coming or what's not coming, but just to be alert, healthy, be there for our kids. You know, a lot of people are homeschooling at the moment. I couldn't think of anything worse than having to wake up and homeschool my kids with a hangover. You know, there's so many, there's so many ripple effects that go on with alcohol, but now is definitely the time, I think, that people need to be really looking at that and wondering if that's what they're wanting for themselves or what they're wanting their kids to see. You know, and I'm not doing this for any reason other than I just want to help people, because and it gets really addictive too. Like every time someone messages and says, "Oh my God, that's helped me so much," or you know, "You've helped me quit," or "My life's changed because of it." It's awesome.
Yeah, isn't it massive too? And we were talking about that thing. I mean, I had this a few times with the book when people, and you were having it recently with the podcast, where people say, "Oh, you know, this has really helped me," or "It's changed my life," or and it's strange. It's almost it's humbling. It's really hard to describe, because you think you get a big head from it.
No, but it's humbling.
It's humbling. You feel lucky that you're the one that can help.
When you're doing stuff like this too, it's often it's not your intention for an ego thing. It's just purely to help. And when, even if you help one person, I mean, that's amazing.
But how about that, that lady who got onto you, she watched one of my online gigs or something. Remember that?
Oh, that was amazing. That article. Yeah.
That's a really well written
article. Yeah, she wrote that for Hello Sunday Morning. I think there's a link to that on my How I Quit Alcohol Instagram in the link tree there. It's a gorgeous article.
Yeah, that's really well worth checking out. Or we should maybe even put a link in. We might put a link in.
Yeah, we'll put
in the
link
show
in.
Notes.
Yeah, it's great. I think also too, because of your profile as well, that people can look to you as well. There's someone joining our webinar on Sunday who's her partner's a blues musician as well and really wants to quit alcohol. But this is interesting, is he's very associated with being a blues musician, so therefore thinks he needs to drink to be like one of the old greats.
Yeah. Well, pretty much all of our heroes were probably alcoholics. Yeah, it's a funny one. I mean, for me, that's how I got into it too, because I just always associated the two. I mean, I couldn't think about doing a gig without drinking. That was just, you know, I was like, what? No, you got to drink. Where's the rider? If there wasn't the drinks rider there, I'd be whinging.
Or you'd be going to the bottle shop
I'd be going to, oh, this festival's a council festival. They don't have, they have some stupid law that you can't have drinks backstage. So let's go to the bottle-o.
Take me to the thirsty camel.
Let's go to the bottle-o so I can get my run up before I get on stage. I thought that was so essential, and it just turned out nothing could have been further from the truth. It was taking my creativity away. And yeah, it's just funny that since then I found a lot. I had heard people talk about that, but I never believed them. But I've found more creativity, a lot more, since I quit. Because when I first started my career, I'd be making up lyrics on stage and doing all this stuff. And then for a long time, I thought that was gone. And I thought, oh, it was just age, or that time's gone now. But then when I just did these last round of shows at Miami Marquetta and a few other places, I was there making up songs again and improvising and stuff and just making up lyrics as I go, and it was easy. So I didn't realize that I was there. I was like pre-aging. I was marinating my brain, I think.
Well, how many, it's what we're talking about that before, Ash, like how many people are letting in the old guy or the old woman, you know, they're getting up to 40, 50, whatever, older even, and you're putting things down to like not being as sharp.
You think, oh, I'm just getting old.
You're putting that down to just getting old. And you, for one, it's scary how we accept that and just go, okay. But yeah, so we let in the old person, or we let in the sick person, or we let in the tired person, when the antidote for that is not letting in the person and then doing...
Not letting the old person in.
Yeah, don't let the old person in. Don't let the sick person in. And fight against that. And yeah. Alcohol has a huge part to play in that, where you think, oh, this is, it's the catalyst for those feelings. It's it's the cause of those feelings, sorry. But you don't put it down to alcohol. You put it down to, oh, I'm just getting older or whatever. And it's funny that when you do take that out, suddenly the old guy's retracting.
Yeah, because the other thing is your subconscious learns its routines from what your habits are. So you get these routines, ways of thinking and ways of acting and sort of even the way you walk and everything. Your subconscious is just there to keep repeating your routine and keep doing. That's how you can drive from A to B and not even remember how you got there. It's your subconscious getting you there. But if you're hungover all the time, then your subconscious is almost going to repeat that hungover guy. Even when you're not hungover, you're sort of that person.
Part of that 60,000 thoughts a day thing.
Yeah, your 60,000 thoughts that get repeated all the time will be influenced by the fact that you've been hungover all that time. So if you're thinking, oh, I want to get in and, you know, I want to really manifest a new reality for myself, and you've got to be thinking thoughts that are sort of aligned with your goals in life, like those positive thoughts that are going to get you to your goals or wherever you want to be. And it's really hard to do that if you're hungover and you're fighting against the subconscious that's keeping you down in that down kind of quagmire, you know. So you can't have your, you can't have this like drinking all the time and having a regular habit of being hungover. Actually, I can see now that I look back that that stops you from manifesting the things you want in your life, because on that day, your constant thought all day is like, oh, I just want to get through. I want to get to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe I can watch a movie. You're not thinking about you know, what you want to create in the world.
Oh, God, because how can you even go there? And that's the thing. And a lot of, wow, I had this realization the other day. It's not even about quitting alcohol is just a small part of this whole big picture, you know, and it seems like a big thing. It's not actually that big a thing. Like your vision for yourself needs to be so much bigger than just quitting alcohol.
Totally.
I think that's also a key component to this. Like when you're in it, it seems like such a big thing. Now I'm out of it and you're out of it. It's nothing. The quitting alcohol is nothing compared to what we're striving towards or what we're going for in our lives. Do you know?
Totally, I know what you mean. And that's why, like, when we were working on the book too, when you get to like about the 6 month
on the journal,
we were like, you really need some spiritual input there, or you need to be striving for something, because once you get there, you can't spend month and month on end just quitting alcohol. I mean, you just don't drink alcohol and it's done. And if that's all you're doing and you're just using willpower and just thinking about alcohol, you'll probably end up folding, because it's just so boring and you're just going without something that you keep telling yourself you want.
Yeah.
But if you start driving towards something that's important to you in your life and learning some new things, then it's like alcohol, schmalcohol.
Yeah, it's like it's an afterthought. It's just like that's in the dirt, that's in the dust.
Yeah.
The main components. So these are the key things for anyone that's wanting to quit. And this is what we'll talk about in the webinar. So we're hosting a webinar on Sunday. It's this Sunday at 4 o'clock. And if anyone wants information about that, you can go to my Instagram page or the iquitalcohol.com.au.
So what's the date of that? Sorry to interrupt. What's the date of that?
13th of September.
13th of September 2020, if you're listening to this in the future.
But anyway, so it's Ash and I will be going through all these key components. But just to give everyone a brief rundown on it now, it's like make the decision. Get a very clear vision in your mind of where you want to be. Also before that too is writing down like how alcohol is holding you back, realizing what it's, how it's not serving you. So the vision in your mind of where you want to be in 12 months time, even in 10 years time, then setting up some like a gratitude practice and positive affirmations for yourself. That's a huge one. Spiritual input. And then sort of directing your momentum forward. So this sort of goes over a 12-month period. But there's, we call them our layers. There's like 12 layers to this sort of system that is basically all those things. But it's, yeah, they're the key components to it.
But the idea is that you can just pick up that journal and then every day you just go to the next page, you read a little bit of what's written there.
Oh, in the playbook, yeah.
In the playbook.
But the basics of this whole... The whole thing is, yeah, they're the key components to anyone that's wanting to quit, and just if they want a good kind of setup or a framework to work with, they're the key things to it. And it works. And it's, we've spoken with therapists and other people to quit, people that have gone through AA, and everyone's given it the big old tick. And yeah, it's what worked for us. So I'm really excited about this webinar. It's going to be great, and you'll be amazing.
You'll be amazing. We'll be amazing. Yeah. How's Earth Bottles going?
Earth Bottles is okay. We're doing all right through COVID. We just won some awards, which was great. We just won the Byron Bay Sustainability Awards, and we've been nominated for the Australian Non-Toxic Awards, which is great. And it's been going really well, considering. I got really freaked out when COVID first hit. I thought, that's it. It's done.
We thought we were done for, didn't we?
Yeah, but again, it's just directing the momentum and just stepping up and having a clear vision and working towards that. And yeah, it's been good.
And I think something that both of us focused a lot on is not giving too much attention to the externals. That's what we were really, it was really hard at first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was scary at first.
And, you know, you got to give a little attention to the externals when you've got two family businesses, one being My Music and one being Earth Bottles, and they both get banned effectively. Yep. But we sort of, to this point, we're feeling pretty good about how we rolled, because we just focused on the things that we could change and just, you know.
I think too, it's almost, it's seeing like, what do I want? Like, what do you want? Rather than focusing on what's so bad and what you don't want to happen. Like, if I was to freak out, oh my God, I don't want my business to go under, then that's where my focus is going to go. But what I do want is my business to still flourish through this time and come through strong and having a deep connection to our customers. That's what it is about for us with Earth Bottles. And that's what I focus on.
Mm.
My focus is never on, oh, I'm going to lose my shit. And it just doesn't go there. It's not a place where I go. And nor do you.
Mm. Like that old one I used to say, like you can be, if you go snowboarding and you start going through the trees, you don't look at the trees. You look where you want. You don't go look at a tree because you're going to hit the tree. You look at the spaces where you want to go, and that's where you go.
Yeah, because if you look at the tree, that's where you're going to hit. Yeah. Tony Robbins says, where focus goes, energy flows.
On your tones.
See ya.
See ya. Well, that was very cool. Okay. Well, thanks very much for being on Soulful Conversations.
Thanks for having me. Bye.